When was the last time, think in your mind, when was the last time that you had an entire day of peace and quiet? See, I knew there would be a little bit of laughter because some of you are like, never. Years, weeks, months, maybe earlier this week. Maybe that's the plan for tomorrow. Tomorrow's Labor Day, right? So maybe the plan for some of us is just going to be a day of peace and quiet. But let's be honest. For some of us, Labor Day is going to involve as much work and effort as a day of work does. Matter of fact, there's going to be some of us that after tomorrow, we're going to want to go back to work because of all the work that we're going to do tomorrow on Labor Day, even though Labor Day is supposed to be a day to celebrate working by not working. There was a survey that was done, it was done earlier this year, of 2,000 Americans. It was done by the survey company on behalf of a company that helps plan vacations and trips and things like that for people. And they surveyed 2,000 Americans. And they asked them a series of questions. One of the questions was, how much would you be willing to spend in order to have an entire day of peace and quiet? What would you guess? How much would people be willing to spend to have an entire day of peace and quiet? I'll give you the answer. It was over $2,500. Now, some are like, oh, holy cow. And some are like, yeah, I can see it. And I don't know exactly how they came up with that number. I don't know if it's like, hey, I will spend up to $2,500 of what, you know, to go to whatever place, whatever vacation spot, whatever it is that I can find the peace and quiet. Or somebody's just like, if you'll let me have a day of peace and quiet, I'll write you a check. You know, I don't know exactly how they came up with that number. But that's the number they came up with, was $2,500 that people would pay to have an entire day of peace and quiet. Now, however they came up with that number, here's something that's even more interesting. Parents said that they would add another $1,100 to that amount. That they were willing to go over $3,000, over $3,600, just like, let me have the day. How many of y'all would be like, okay, fair deal? No, some of y'all, okay, a couple of you, all right. Other things that they reveal in the survey, almost 40% of the people they surveyed said that they had lied to either a partner, a friend, or family in order to have time to themselves. Not that they lied to their workplace, their bosses, their managers, anybody like that. To their own family, to their own friends, they lied so that they could have some time to themselves. And the top lies that were told, the top reasons that they gave, so that they could have time themselves. Number one reason, what would you think? I'm not feeling well, I'm sick. Number two is I have a lot of work to do. Number three is I have a headache. Number four was I have an appointment. Number five, my phone is about to die, so I can't talk right now. And I'm just wondering, I'm kind of looking at some faces right now to see if anybody's giving a side eye like I've used that one before. See how many of these excuses we've actually used. And when asked what would they do with this interrupted time alone, if they just had time themselves to do whatever they wanted to do, the top answer was anything as long as it's not a chore or an obligation. I'll do whatever. The second most popular answer, binge TV and movies. And then the third one was a day at the beach. I feel like you could probably potentially combine those two. Spend a day at the beach binging TV and movies. I don't know. Anyway, last one real quick. Same survey. 66% said visiting family does not count as vacation. I don't know if you agree with that. There's some head nodding going on right now. Visiting family does not count as vacation. For some of us, that's a job. That's a chore, right? What is the most peaceful place that you can think of? What's the time? As a matter of fact, here, let's do this real quick. I want to challenge you guys. It won't take very long. I want everybody to close their eyes. Please don't fall asleep, but just close your eyes, okay? And just picture just a peaceful place. Where is that place? Picture it right now in your mind. Is it a beach? Is it a hammock? Are you on top of a mountain? Where is it? Just picture there's nothing. There's no phones to ring. There's no deadlines. There's nothing that you got to get done. Where is that peaceful place? Okay? Are you there? Now, open your eyes. Just tell the person next to you, in front of you, or behind you, where was that? Just tell them real quick. Where were you? Where's that peaceful place? Now, I wonder how many of you, when you heard from somebody else, were like, ooh, I'll take yours. I'll go there. Like, I want that spot. And I want us to be thinking about this morning. I want us to be thinking about how we relax, how we spend our quiet time, how we find peace. How valuable is it to us? I want us to be thinking about that this morning, because we've been talking the last couple weeks, we're going to continue to talk about being called. That all of us who are followers of Jesus, all of us who have put our faith in him and who have been saved by his blood, have his spirit living in us, we have been called. And we talked early on, we talked a few weeks ago about how all of us, especially those who have given our lives to Christ, that God calls us at different times in different ways for specific purposes. That each one of us experiences usually some kind of a calling from God. We experience something where we know it's on our hearts and our minds. It's something that it's a thought that we can't turn loose of. We know that it's something that God is leading us to. And it's to go, God is calling us to this job, to this volunteer opportunity, to move to this city, to talk to that person, to have a difficult conversation, to change a habit, whatever it is. We have individual specific calls that God gives us on a regular basis. But what we've been talking about here in our church family for the last few weeks and continue to talk about today is how all of us who are disciples of Christ, who are children of God, that God calls all of us to kind of some broader things on a regular basis. We talked about how God invites all of humankind, all of mankind, to a relationship with Jesus. That is a calling. God calls us. God invites us. God summons us to experience a relationship with Jesus. And once we've experienced that relationship with Jesus, once we've accepted that, then God, as we talked about last week, God calls all of us to be holy. And that doesn't mean to be completely sacred and you can't touch me and I can't touch other things in this world because I'll get sinful cooties on me or something like that. That we're still called to be in the world and interact with folks and build relationships and serve people. But there should be something distinct about us. There should be something that looks different about us. There's something different about our lives. There's something set apart in us. And that's what God calls us to. And we also talked about how when God does provide a calling, when God calls all of us, he sees us where we are, but he also sees where we could be. He sees the potential in our lives. He chooses us. He selects us to experience this calling. He invites us to experience whatever it is that he wants us to experience. And then once we take on that call, once we accept it, he sends us out to be the kind of people that he's shaping us into, to do the things that he's leading us to. And so as we've been talking about this calling this morning, we're going to talk about another aspect, another way that God calls us, another thing that God calls us to this morning. To recognize that God, for all of us who have accepted that call to be his child, that God calls all of us to peace. God calls all of us to experience peace. We're invited to experience peace. That's the way Paul puts it in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 15. Paul says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Let the peace of Christ be one of the things that is dominant in your heart, that controls everything else that you think about and every other action that you take. And he goes on to say, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. Be thankful. We're called to peace. We are seen by God. God sees our need for peace. God chooses us to experience peace. And then God also leads us, calls us and leads us to pour peace into the lives of others. So I think the first question that we have to answer this morning is, okay, what are we talking about when we talk about peace? What is this peace? What does that word mean? What is God inviting me to? And for some of you, you may remember, you may not. You may remember that we talked about this last fall. Last October, November, we talked about being peacemakers. And we talked about what peace is actually like. And I want to remind us of that this morning. But if you want to know more about what God is calling us to as far as being peacemakers, I invite you to go back on our YouTube channel or maybe find it on our website, that series of peacemakers that we talked about last fall. But many of us, and myself included, many of us, when we hear the word peace, when we think of peace, we just think of that as like the lack of conflict. I'm not arguing with somebody. We're at peace with each other. We're not having confrontation. Two nations are not at war with each other. They are at peace. If we're not squabbling, if we're not fighting, if we're not arguing, we have peace. It's the opposite of confrontation, right? And there's some truth to that. Some of us, when we think of peace, think of what we did just a few minutes ago. We think of tranquility and calmness, a place that's quiet. Because all I want in this world is some peace and quiet, right? And that's what we think of when we think of peace. It's just the lack of trouble. It's the lack of stress. It's the lack of the absence of anxiety. I am at peace. And again, that's part of it. But when we look through Scripture and when we see God calling us to peace, both in the Old Testament, hundreds and hundreds of years ago, and even in the New Testament, through Jesus and through his followers after, there's a different concept that's attached to this word peace. And when you see the word peace used more often than not in the Old Testament, that word peace, if you go back to the ancient Hebrew that those texts were originally written in, you see the Hebrew word shalom. And maybe you've heard this word. I mean, folks of the Jewish faith still use this word nowadays. Shalom. It means peace. And the Greek word that is similar to it is the word eirene. So when you see the word peace in the New Testament, whether it's Jesus talking about it or Paul or someone else, it's this Greek word eirene. Shalom and eirene. And both of these words don't just mean the absence of confrontation. And don't just mean quietness and stillness. These words at their core mean something that is whole, that is complete. It's not broken. It's all put together. There's no gaps. Everything there's no fractures. There's no cracks. Everything is complete and whole. There's nothing missing. That is what shalom is. That is what eirene is. That is what peace is. And it's recognizing that life itself is complex, right? We got all these different relationships. We got all these different friendships. We got different jobs and different activities that we're a part of. We got different things that are pulling at us and pulling for our attention and our time and our schedules and our agendas. And life can sometimes get chaotic. And we end up focusing on these two or three things over here, but something gets dropped over here. And we focus on this schedule or this activity or this relationship or this friendship or this family member, and someone else gets dropped or kind of gets pushed on the side, or we don't focus on them as much. And that friendship ends up fracturing. That part of our emotional health ends up breaking down. There's something that's incomplete. And when there's something that is incomplete or broken, when there's a gap in my life, I'm not experiencing shalom. I'm not experiencing eirene. I am not at peace. I'm not complete. I'm not whole. Something's broken. Maybe it's my marriage is broken. It's not that we're leaving each other. It's not that the thing is completely falling apart, but there's something missing. There's a gap. We are not complete. Could be me and a family member. Could be a friend. Our friendship has become fractured. It's broken down some way. Somebody said something they shouldn't. Somebody did something they regret, but we haven't fixed it yet. It's broken. It's not complete. My finances may be in the shambles. I may have an addiction that is taking over part of my life, and I'm not complete because I'm addicted to this particular thing. It may be my stress, it may be my anxiety, and I focus on all the things that could go wrong, all the things that are going wrong, and it breaks me down. It causes my own sense of peace and completeness and wholeness to break apart. When I become a child of God, when I accept that relationship with Jesus and I have God's Spirit living in me, when that happens, I should experience the full presence of God. This thing that was missing before in my life, This connection that wasn't there is now there. I should feel complete. God is complete. God is whole. There are no gaps. Everything that should be there is there. And he invites me to experience a relationship with him so that I can experience that completeness and that wholeness in my own life. That's what I'm invited to experience. That's what I'm called to experience, that peace from God. It's not just the absence of conflict. It's not just the absence of stress. It's not just calming myself and doing some deep breathing. All those things are fine and all those things are part of it. But the peace that God invites me to is being complete and being whole. And if you think about it, this is what Jesus came. This is the purpose that Jesus came for. This is why Jesus came into our world. I mean, God designed us in his image. God created us to be like him and to look like him. And that's how we were supposed to be from the beginning. But we chose sin. We chose something else instead of God. And that sin and those desires and those lusts and those thoughts and those actions broke us apart from him and broke us down spiritually. And there's something that has been incomplete. There's something that has been broken about us until Christ came. And the reason that he came was to bring peace. Hundreds of years before Jesus showed up, there was a prophet whose name was Isaiah. And Isaiah prophesied about the Messiah who was supposed to come hundreds of years after him. And in part of that description, Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6, this is maybe a familiar verse to you guys because we especially hear it at Christmas time. But I want you to hear it from the perspective of the promise of God's peace this morning. Here's what Isaiah says about the Messiah. He says he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of what? Say it out loud. Peace. His reign will be defined by peace. When the Messiah comes, he will restore the things that need to be restored. He will fix what's broken. He will mend what's hurting. That's what he's coming to do. That's what his kingdom is going to be all about. Not just the absence of conflict, not just calmness, completeness. There will be nothing missing. I will be completely made whole because of his reign. So when Jesus arrives, when the angels show up to the shepherds and they announce the presence of the Son of God, that God has become flesh and has come into our world. Look at what they say about him in Luke chapter 2. Beginning verse 13, it says, suddenly a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven and on earth, what? Peace to those on whom his favor rests. Of all the things that the angels could have celebrated, grace, hope, mercy, what do they proclaim? The Son of God has come in his world and he is bringing what? Peace. He's going to make everything right. He's going to put everything back together. He's going to fix what's broken. He's going to mend what needs to be whole. That is why Jesus came. And you see that on display throughout his ministry. Read through Matthew and Mark and Luke and John, the four books of the Bible that talk about Jesus' life when he was here on this earth, and see how much brokenness Jesus healed. I mean, there's the physically broken. There were people who had diseases and infirmities and you know, couldn't walk and were blind and all these different things that were going on with them. What did Jesus do? He healed them. He took what was broken and he made it right. He healed it. He made them whole again. But he did that not just with their physical bodies. He made emotional and spiritual connections with people, and the people who were outcasts, and the people who were dismissed, and the people who had been rejected by everybody else in society, and the people who were broken spiritually and broken emotionally. Jesus showed up in their lives. Jesus spent time with them, and Jesus healed. He repaired. He restored them to what God wanted for them in the first place. He brought them peace. And ultimately, as I said before, it's what Jesus did for us on the cross. This brokenness that we were all experiencing, this separation from God that all of us had, this disconnection that defined our lives, Jesus got rid of all that at the cross. I mean, that's, again, going back to Isaiah 100 years before, as he's pointing forward to Jesus. He says in Isaiah 53 and verse 5, the punishment that brought us peace was on him. By his wounds, we are healed. The torture that Jesus went through, the way that he was broken down physically and emotionally, the separation and disconnection that he experienced from the Father, he became broken so that we could have what? Peace. So that we could be made whole. So that we could be healed. This is what Jesus came for, folks. This is why he showed up, was to bring us peace. Not just the absence of conflict, not just calmness and tranquility, healing, restoration, completeness. And that's what God says he's calling us to. He's inviting us to experience. I want to give you peace. I want you to experience it. I want my peace to define your life. So, what do we do with that invitation? What do we do with that calling? How do we take part of this? Well, the first thing right off the bat is we have to accept it. We have to accept God's peace. And that might seem like the most obvious answer. I mean, you might see that and go, well, duh, Marshall, of course, that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to, like, he gives us peace, we're supposed to accept it. And yet, for so many of us, this is what we reject. For so many of us, God says, I want to give you completeness. I want to restore you. I want to heal you. I want to make things better. I want to fill in the gaps and whatever it is that's broken in your life. I want to fix it. I want to repair it. I want to make you whole. And we say that we want that. We want forgiveness and we want grace and we want that connection. And yet there's something else. There's often something else in our lives that we choose instead. I want the grace and I want the hope and I want the connection, but I also want to hold on to this grudge. I can't let go of my anger. I can't stop being stressed and anxious. I'm holding on to my conflict. I'm holding on to my selfishness and my greed. I can't let go of this addiction. So there's part of me that's fully devoted to Christ. There's part of me that fully wants to experience everything that God calls me to and says that he wants to give me. But there's something that I just can't let go of. And so instead of fully accepting God's healing, God's restoration, the wholeness and completeness that God promises that he can give me, instead of fully accepting that, I say, okay, that sounds awesome. And I kind of like to at least have pieces of that, but I also want to hold on to this other thing. And we may not even consciously say that. We may not even say, thanks, God, but no thanks, although some of us might. But some of us are just doing that. Our actions show it. Our hearts are divided. Our minds and our thoughts are divided. And we wonder why we're still stressed and why we're still anxious and why we can't let go of this habit and why we keep holding on, why we keep feeling angry and why we keep lashing out and retaliating and we can't figure it out. And one of the main reasons is we're not accepting God's call to peace. He would make things right. He would make us whole. We're just not accepting it. Jesus offered it to his disciples and he offers it to us. In John chapter 14, verse 27, he says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. Isn't that amazing? The Prince of Peace, the one who embodies peace and the way God designed it, the one who embodies completeness and wholeness and everything restored and everything as it should be, says, I am willing to give that to you. You don't have to earn it. You don't have to buy it. You don't deserve it. I just love you that much. Here, take it. And for whatever reason, for a variety of reasons, we say, no thanks. because we're so used to the stress and the chaos and the anger and the addiction and the selfishness. It's become the norm for us. And we can't even imagine what it's like to have that kind of completeness. So we don't take hold of it. So first things first, folks, if I want to, if God is calling me to experience His peace, the first thing I need to do is hear that invitation and accept it. But then the second thing that I got to do is grow in it. I need to grow in that peace. I need to let it become something that becomes a dominant part of my life. I need to learn to be content. I need to learn to forgive. I need to learn to let go. Whatever the things are that are fractured in my life, I need to grow in His peace and allow Him to heal those things and continue to allow those things to happen over and over and over again. Let's see if I can make this clear. In Philippians chapter 4, Paul gives us a kind of a whole list of action steps. And this will be on the screen, or you can look at it in your own Bibles or your own Bible app. I would invite you to underline just the action words in your Bible in Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 6. Because here's what Paul says. Rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Look at this whole list of things that Paul says here. I need to rejoice when things are good. I need to rejoice when things are not so good. I need to be gentle. That doesn't mean to be weak or to let people take advantage of me or walk all over me. That means that I am kind and compassionate to people, even the people that don't deserve it. I need to let go of my anxiety. I need to let go of my fear. Stop worrying about things that I can't control anyway, because I know God is in control ultimately. I need to pray. I need to pray a lot. I need to pray hard. I need to be thankful. Just recognize how good God is, how good God has been. Folks, think about it. Look at that list. If we were doing those things on a daily basis, what would our lives look like? How would that change our mindsets, how we view other people, the words that come out of our mouths, the actions that we take? If we were growing in those actions. Because here's the thing. If you look in verse 7, here's the promise that comes along with these actions. Here's what Paul says. When we do these things, when we grow in these things, the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I will have peace. I will have completeness. I will feel whole. I won't feel broken. I won't feel like there's something missing in my life. If I'm growing in these actions and experiencing this peace from God, the peace that those who don't have a relationship with God, they can't even understand it. They can't understand why I feel so calm when things are chaotic. They can't understand why I don't have stress and fear like they do. They can't understand why I forgive when people mistreat me or when people hurt somebody that I truly care about. They can't fathom how I've finally given up that particular habit. They don't understand why I'm so thankful all the time. It makes no sense because they don't have that peace. And they don't have that peace because they haven't accepted that call to a relationship with Jesus. Paul says, grow in these things. Make these things a habit in your life and you will grow in peace. You will grow in completeness. You will be made whole. It's not that you're not going to have trouble in this world. It's not that you're not going to have problems and stresses and things that cause you fear. But those things won't dominate your life. They won't dominate your heart. The peace of God will. Look at verse 7 again. That peace that transcends understanding will guard your hearts and your minds. I need to move beyond just going, yes, I accept the peace of God. I accept the wholeness and the completeness for God. Grow in that. That needs to be something that continues to be a part of your life and continues to be an increasing habit for you. And then lastly, real quick, We've talked before, when God calls us, we are seen, we are selected, and we are sent. God doesn't just call us to experience his peace for ourselves. He calls us to produce peace in the lives of other people, to pour this peace that we have into the lives of others, to do what we can or allow God to use us in some form or fashion so that people can see this peace, so that they can experience it from me and hopefully experience it for themselves. Romans chapter 12 and verse 18, Paul says, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Now it sounds like Paul is just talking about make sure you don't get into fights. Live without conflict with everyone. And that's actually, you know, a significant part of it. If you read the rest of the context around what he's talking about here in chapter 12, he goes on to talk about like not getting revenge and being kind to people who have been unkind to us. So that's definitely part of what Paul is talking about here. But he uses this word, eirene, completeness, wholeness. What does he mean? As much as I can, I need to live like I am complete and I am whole and I am healed and I am restored. People need to see that on display in my life. Not only that, whatever I can do to provide healing and restoration and completeness and wholeness in the life of someone else, I need to take that action. And maybe that's just praying for somebody. And maybe that's spending time with somebody who is hurting and just letting them talk and letting them air it out. Not even necessarily giving advice, just being there and being a source of comfort and strength for them. That is having a conversation with somebody about the gaps that I see in their lives and how I believe that Jesus can fill those things. And I am called as much as possible, as much as it depends on me, when I have the opportunity to not only hold on to and grow in the peace that I have, but pour that peace into the life of somebody else. How am I producing God's peace in the lives of others? I need to stop judging. I need to stop criticizing. I need to stop perpetuating the bad habits. I need to stop turning my back on those who need help, who need restoring, who need healing. I need to stop adding to the brokenness and take whatever actions I can to help restore and make things right. Hopefully people can see him and me and want to know why I don't have those broken pieces in my life, so that they can experience it for themselves. I need to accept God's peace. I need to grow in God's peace. And I need to produce his peace in my life, important to the lives of others. That's how I experience God's peace. That's what he's calling me to. I want to wrap up and maybe make this hopefully even more clear this morning. Because I thought, you know, I mean, when we talk about something that's just missing, there's a gap, there's something that's broken, I thought that's a lot like putting together a puzzle. You know, you got a puzzle, and whether it's a dozen pieces or 1,000 pieces, you're putting all the pieces together to try to make a picture, to try to make something complete, right? And yet sometimes when we put puzzles together, we can kind of see, I'm going to show you this puzzle that I got. I put it together myself. Y'all can be so proud of me. We can see what the picture's supposed to be, right? We can see, you know, this thing, whatever this artist has designed on this piece of cardboard and it's cut up into a whole bunch of little pieces, but we can see what it's supposed to be. We can see what that picture's supposed to look like. But what if there's a piece missing? And, you know, when I originally had this thought to share with you guys this morning, I thought, well, then I'll just take a piece out and be like, well, just, you know, what if a piece is missing? And as I was putting this together, this $2 puzzle that I bought at Walmart, I got to the end, you know what? There's a piece missing. I got ripped off. But I thought, you know what? That's how it is, isn't it? I mean, if you look at this picture, you can see it's a farmland picture. There's a cow, there's a horse, there's a pig. You can kind of tell what it's a picture of. But there's something missing. And I think this is where we are a lot of times in our lives, in our relationship with God. You can see it. I mean, you can see I'm a Christian. You can see I'm a good spouse. I'm a good parent. I can try to be a good friend. And yet, there might be something that's missing. And overall, I feel like I'm a pretty good person. Overall, I feel like I got everything together. But there's just something missing. There's a gap. And the problem is, if I don't deal with that, if I don't deal with the piece that's missing, you know what tends to happen? I start losing more and more pieces. And things start to really, really fall apart. And you see less and less of who I'm supposed to be. And you see more and more of the gaps and of what's broken. Because we're not experiencing the peace that God invites us to. We get used to the brokenness. We assume this is just our lives now. This is just the picture of me now. And there's holes here and there, but you can kind of still see the person that God originally designed. And the more and more that we don't deal with the gaps, the more broken we become. That's not what God wants for you. That's not what God wants for me. God calls us to peace, to allow him to put everything together, to make us into what he designed us to be in the first place. So here's my question. We're going to stand up in just a second. We're going to sing a song, and we're going to invite you during that song. If there is a gap, if there's something that's broken in your life right now, if there's some way that you're not experiencing this peace that God invites you, calls you to experience, that you're welcome to come down the front and share that with us. And that may be odd to do in front of your own church family, or maybe odd to do, especially this is one of your first times here, in front of a bunch of strangers that don't know you very well. But just understand, if you come to the front and say, I'm feeling broken, there's some gaps, there's some pieces missing in my life right now, you're going to be surrounded by people who love you, who are not going to judge or criticize you, who are dealing, maybe some of them still dealing with some of their own brokenness. And we'll work together to experience God's peace. But let me ask you this question before we stand up and sing together. Where's the gap in your life right now? What's the piece that's missing? What's broken? What needs healing? When we stand up together to sing, you're welcome to come to the front and say, here's what's broken. Here's what needs restoring. Here's what needs healing in my life. If you don't move an inch from where you're standing, I would invite you to think about, where are the gaps? Where are the cracks? What's missing in my life right now? And you would begin praying right then, God, please restore. Please heal. Please fix what's broken. Please give me your peace. Let's not leave here this morning not experiencing God's peace together. And if this church family can help you find his peace today, we want to, while together we stand and sing.